The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast Zoom edition. We've got Claude on the feed. Hey, Claude. Trigger alert.
Hey, guys. I am getting major flashbacks, PTSD, to the Zoom Chronicles of the Morning Toast. But we are back in quarantine Zoom podcast episodes for the next 2 weeks.
For the next 2 weeks, because we went to Newport, Rhode Island this weekend and we had the most sensational time, like truly one of the best weekends of our lives. But unfortunately, that also meant that when we got back, we had to quarantine because Rhode Island is on the quarantine list. So here we are doing Zoom Toast.
Yes. And while Zoom Toast is not my favorite medium to toast through, I am not mad at all about being back in quarantine. I actually low-key did miss it a little bit. I'm feeling right at home. I've got Mad Men on deck, and I'm also going to watch Emily in Paris. So I have like a slate of content that's just been waiting for me to quarantine again.
You've been waiting for this one.
Turn it up!
I understand how you're feeling. It's like when I knew that we had to quarantine again for 2 weeks, I wasn't like so forlorn. Definitely the idea of Zoom Toast is better than it actually feels in practice, but I am looking forward to reuniting in a big way with my Peloton, and like maybe this quarantine could be the one that it was supposed to be, where, like, you know, like Peter Facinelli like got trimmed during quarantine. Maybe that could be me.
I'm no Raven Simone. I can't see the future, but I do know that that's not going to be how my quarantine ends up. And I'm okay with that.
I just want to say, like, you talk a big game, but you were the one in the car yesterday who said it too. You said, maybe I'll, you know, I don't know what you said, but that was your idea of like a quarantine glow up.
Yes, I was partially kidding. But you know what? You never know.
In a serious manner.
You
never know. And this means you can spend more time with Thea, which I think is the priority.
It's a win for absolutely everyone.
It is.
Except for the people who love to watch on YouTube.
It's just so funny that, like, we went away for 3 days and now we have to quarantine for 14. But I personally live 14 for three. Like, I wouldn't trade this weekend for anything. We need to talk about Newport, Rhode Island.
What a marvelous, fabulous, quaint little port town filled with fabulousness and fabulous restaurants, fabulous people, fabulous toasters, toasters galore. It was the bread aisle at the supermarket.
Some of the most fabulous toasters I've ever met in my life. There were toasters.
Chic.
You guys, the toasters in Newport, Rhode Island were just on like another level of outfits, elegance, and just like vibe. I don't know.
Elevation.
It was such a pleasure to meet them. So if you're a Newport toaster who we met, like, it was so nice to meet you. Yeah. Like the conversations, the outfits, like, it was just a really pleasant experience. We really packed a lot into the weekend. We got the most out of our Newport experience. If you were following along on Instagram, you know that we were heavily inspired by Taylor Swift, The Last Great American Dynasty.
Well, it's just interesting how Newport, Rhode Island, over the last, 2 months, has really become like a pop culture corner of the earth between Real Housewives of New York at the Clark Cookhouse throwing ravioli and then Taylor Swift in her mansion, you know, and Rebecca Harkness. I just felt like there were so many pop culture metaphors. And for a couple pop culture connoisseurs, us being there was, it was overwhelming.
Honestly, it was like a research work trip, you know?
R&D, research and development.
We also did follow in the footsteps of the Real Housewives of New York before us. We went to the restaurants and the hotel that they stayed at, and like really those women know how to live. It was like following their itinerary was just the highlight of our weekend.
Yeah, it was really just a fabulous weekend, and I can't recommend Newport as a tourist destination if you're able to go and if you're allowed to travel in whatever state that you're in. Add it to the list. It was really fabulous.
Really fabulous until our ride home yesterday. Do you want to share with everyone what happened, Claudia?
Okay, yes, I will. I will, because it is not my fault, okay? Here's what happened. Jackie and I don't have a car. We rented a car.
Well, you're starting from the way beginning.
Well, because it's important when you see like who we had to call. So we had a rental car. Of course, when we got there, we like upgraded to like the best possible car because that's what we do. And we had a fabulous time in our Jaguar. The whole weekend, the Jaguar just really elevated like an already premium weekend.
100%.
On Sunday, we woke up, and you know, I'm the type of person, I don't like to dilly-dally in my location. I'm like, let's get up and get the fuck out. Even if I had the best weekend ever or the worst weekend ever, like I'm waking up at 9 and I'm in the car at 9:30. I woke up everyone. I rallied everyone. We were making amazing time. It's 190 miles, so it's roughly between 3 and 4 hours, depending how slow or fast you drive, but the Jaguar was just like taking me, you know? And we stopped in Madison, Connecticut for the first stop, for like a little tinkle, maybe a snack, parked the Jag right in front parking spot, great spot. I grab the keys. We walk into the rest stop. Jackie goes to McDonald's.
Duncan.
Where'd you go?
Duncan. I love those breakfast wraps.
So good. I had to pee. So the car keys are in my brassiere, and I go to the bathroom, and you know, this is what I get because I actually don't really squat, and the Madison, you know, all the rest stops in Connecticut are low-key, like, stunning, like malls.
Yeah, no, it's not even low-key. Like, they have this aesthetic to them, and they're so beautiful, stunning, and smart, and they have the best restaurants inside. Like, the governor of Connecticut who made that his initiative, like, I'm gonna clean up our rest stops, but it deserves a raise.
It was so beautiful. Like, and the outside has this thing, like
one thing we would change.
There's one thing we would change because I went to the bathroom and I squatted and my car keys were in my brassiere. And as I'm peeing, I hear kerplunk. I'm like, oh shit. I assumed it was my phone. My phone was also in my bra. So I pee and I turn around and it's the fucking car keys. And I'm like, shit. I'm like mentally preparing myself to stick my hand in a public toilet that I just peed in. And before I could get my hand in there, boom, the automatic flush goes off and my keys are gone. And I'm like, there's no way that the toilet could suction them up. I'm like waiting for them to flow back out. So not only is it like really settling in how stranded we are, I then realize I have to go and tell the group that I fucked up. And I just know like if somebody in the group had fucked up and come to me and been like, we're stranded, I literally never would have spoken to them again. And I was about to be that person. Now, everyone thought I was joking at first, which was really frustrating because I'm like, we don't have time. I'm not fucking joking. Then everyone started to understand and everyone started to pitch in. So Jackie's friend, Sam, she said she's going to go literally stick her hand down the toilet all as far as she can go and see if she can get it. I went to the car. Thankfully, I'm so irresponsible. I didn't lock the car on our way out. So the car, praise be, was unlocked.
Praise be. Like, you don't understand how important this detail is because if our things were trapped in the car, I brought my nicest things for this weekend. And then like whatever happens to this car, like we have to follow it. And then, or we have to like call the police and have them bash a window. And like, it's a rental car. And like, I can't imagine the bill on that one.
A Jaguar. So
the fact that the car was open is the only reason why you are here to tell the tale today, Claudia.
So yes, while it was 100% completely my fault, I do think that it's worth noting that I got us out of that rest stop in 45 to 60 minutes, I would say. Mm-hmm. I got a tow truck through the rental company, which I did purchase insurance. Thank God, I never purchased insurance. Got insurance. The tow truck man said, you can leave. I called a random ass Connecticut car service to come and pick us up. They came in 30 minutes. We were at the rest stop, by 12. We were out of there by 1. And I just think that's commendable. And I think that it's okay.
And no, it was okay. It all worked out. It worked out fine. It's like a hilarious, crazy fucking story. And that this is why people, you wear a purse to the rest stop bathroom. And so,
100%. That is the takeaway.
Yeah, a purse or something with pockets. The other takeaway is that if this episode makes its way to the Connecticut governor, maybe you could give us one more second on that automatic flush. Extremely hasty flush.
Very hasty. And I was talking to the janitor because I was very upset. And he was this lovely man. And I was like telling him this crazy thing that happened to me. And he said, lady, you are not the first person this has happened to. It happens all the time. And last week, some woman ran in here really quickly, accidentally lost her keys with the flush, and couldn't get back in. Her dog was stuck in the car. Thank God, every rest stop, I'm telling you, these rest stops have thought of everything in Connecticut. Every rest stop also has a police precinct in it. So they just grabbed the police and the baton, they opened the car, they bashed the window, and the dog was okay. But it's like, why is this problem not solved? I think we need to be the ones to give this problem a platform.
Yeah, I completely agree. We need to slow down this flusher. It's snatching up keys left and right. Other than that, Connecticut, you have our hearts.
Beautiful, beautiful state. We drove through it. It was really beautiful.
Really beautiful. As was Rhode Island, New Haven, such a stunning town I'd never seen before.
Stunning.
And so really, New England, like, you're pretty this time of year.
New England, you're gorgeous. You have my heart.
New England, I think I'll stay.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's our weekend wrap up. We obviously have a lot to talk about. Real Housewives of Potomac was a real show-stopping episode last night.
It was
one that made me think.
Made me think a lot. I do know where I stand now. And it was one of the best episodes of TV, reality TV Housewives that we've seen in a very long time. So I do look forward to getting there. I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, me too. It was really wonderfully edited, might I add, but we'll get into it in the TV recap section.
Okay, so without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you, yes, you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Okay, I have a confession to make.
Mm.
Over the weekend, I came in contact with someone who had RDH.
Eek. And?
Yeah, and as everyone knows, it's highly contagious. So I'm back on my meds, but the doctor did recommend one kind of holistic approach that he recommended I try on Monday morning.
Okay, anything to help you alleviate the pain.
Today's episode is brought to you by Noom. Getting in shape doesn't have to be about losing a specific amount of weight or a magic number on the scale. It's about building healthier habits and feeling better about yourself. If fitting into that favorite pair of jeans is your goal, great. But there are many reasons why you might want to practice self-care, and every person is totally different. Noom is the habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Based in psychology, Noom teaches you why you do the things you do and empowers you with the tools you need to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. Noom is not a diet. It is a healthy and easy to stick to way of life where no food is considered good, bad, or off limits. Noom simply teaches you moderation, and it can be used in conjunction with many pre-existing popular diets if you want. They don't tell you what to do or how to do it on Noom. They just teach you how to look inside yourself and your own mind and make better decisions for yourself. They've one of my favorite things about Noom is their food database. It's like the biggest and most accurate. And sometimes when I do want to track my food, I find some of these apps to be so confusing and they like have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So Noom has like the biggest and most accurate food database available. It lets you track your meal habits, helps you visualize your portion size, and then see calorie density at a glance. When we're all strapped for time, Noom is just asking you to commit to 10 minutes a day for yourself. And if you're human, it's totally okay if you go off track. There's no shaming with Noom. Just tips to help you get back on track tomorrow. You can chat with a goal specialist and the Noom community to get and give help to people going through the exact same things. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/toast. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/toast to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/toast. Check it out.
Check it out. Okay, first story. Premium content alert, because Rihanna's Savage X Fenty Volume 2 special began streaming on Amazon Prime Video on Friday, and Lizzo stole the show. She was dancing to D'Angelo in blue lingerie and delivered several standout moments in appearing in a sexy all blue look that included the brand Savage Not Sorry lace bra and Commitment Issues fishnet body stocking, along with the matching gloves and a metallic blue manicure.
So, I mean, this show, like, every year is so stellar, and it's just so crazy how in the course of 2 years, like, Savage literally did what the Victoria's Secret fashion show could never do, which is, like, be cool and good. And I love that it's become this, like, moment every year. And I love that they include Erika Jayne. I just feel like, I honestly can't believe it. It's like, to me, that's like the craziest thing.
Yeah, no, but everyone who was there was just like so epic. Mm-hmm. And they just have the best taste in casting and in dancing and styles and lingerie. Just everything is so on point. And I'm so glad that it came to Amazon for everyone to be able to watch now.
Yeah. And I also feel like it's just like, as a model or if you're a performer, it's probably just like the most fun show or like gig to participate in. Like, I can't imagine it's not just like the best time, even in COVID.
Totally. So it features performances from Travis Scott, Rosalia, Bad Bunny, and Miguel, with cameos from Bella Hadid, Normani, Paris Hilton, Lizzo, and more. Just
sickening.
Everything of the sort. Wait, speaking of Erika Jayne, did you see that Christine Quinn? Oh, no, not what I was going to say. Christine Quinn posted a series of Instagram dancing videos with Mikey Minden.
Oh, my God. I saw her dancing videos. I didn't know that was Mickey.
Yeah, who's Erika Jayne's creative director. So, like, there's crossover there.
Wait, that's crazy. Right? And what I thought you were going to bring up is very unfounded, totally baseless rumors going around that Erika Jayne has been demoted on Beverly Hills to Friend of Housewife for the next season, which is, like, not that crazy.
Yeah, so I do think the rumors are baseless. And as far as rumors go, like, I'm not really taking these to heart, but just between you and I discussing the possibility of if they were true, it's not that far-fetched. I really do feel like in the last few seasons, she sort of just like stayed, like she's just been like a friend. Like, she really doesn't like to get too involved, and doesn't contribute to like the maximum amount of drama. And I think what she does contribute is so significant. And for that reason, she doesn't need to contribute drama, because she contributes like Luke's and major moments and inspires those moments in the rest of the group. And I do think the group needs an inspirational leader like that. But as 100%. Far as Real Housewives banter goes, like, she's not really about it anymore.
Yeah, if we weren't like so head over heels obsessed with her and her whole aesthetic, I would have been like really supporting this idea, because at the end of the day, the show is about the storyline, the narrative, the drama, and she's really not been involved in it for like 2 years, maybe more. So the possibility of her being demoted is not that crazy. I just think it's wild, because she's one of those people, when we talk about housewives, like, from at a glance, and we talk about certain people who's coming on the platform has literally revitalized or just created this insane brand. I think of that, like, with Bethany, and I really think of that with Erika Jayne. Like, she was, you know, talented and had a following before, but now she's in Vogue, she's at Savage, and all of that is because of Housewives. And I wonder if that goes away, if Housewives goes away, or is she now a household name? I don't know.
I think she's a household name, but, you know, being on TV always helps.
Yeah. Never hurts.
Never, ever hurts. Speaking of TV, the CMA 2020 Awards have their hosts, and they're switching it up. Reba McEntire and Darius Rucker will be hosting the 2020 CMA Awards. This is Darius Rucker's first time hosting and McEntire's fifth time hosting the show. Last year, she shared the stage with fellow female country legends Carrie Underwood and Dolly Parton.
Wait, this is a fabulous duo. And, you know, in award show hosting, sometimes you just stumble upon like an amazing duo and you don't realize that like they were meant to be. And I think like 10 years ago, people figured out that like Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley were a great duo, but I'm over them like officially. And I think I have to see it in action, but I think that Reba and Hootie might be the next big duo in country music. I said it here first.
Yeah, I think this is going to be really, really great. I'm excited for the CMAs in general, because I just love the Country Music Association. And I'm looking forward to a new hosting duo in town. Like, as someone who's part of a hosting duo, I have so much respect, admiration, and appreciation for other hosting duos. And so I really think that, like, I'm the Darius to your Reba is what I would say.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, what I was also going to say is like another added layer is, I don't think we reported, but Darius Rucker got divorced.
I think I did see that.
So he is like a single man out on the town. And I think that like the CMAs is like his bat mitzvah. Like he's coming out.
Yeah. No, I think that the CMA stage is a great place to like showcase a single man.
Right.
And everyone else watching like will like, you know, might throw their hat in the ring.
Yeah. I mean, I was.
Yeah, totally. And it, his daughter's a toaster, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. And her mom.
Yeah. So anyways, it's just, this is exciting. The CMA Awards will air.
I love when when award shows air.
They will air on Wednesday, November 11th.
Okay, that's so far away.
So far away, but right around the corner. I will be 28 when they air.
Oh, yes, big birthday. We got to plan something for Jackie's B-Day.
Yeah, we're planning something good. I'm really excited, but we have to cement our plans, you know?
We also need to make sure, like, if we're going somewhere, that the state isn't on the quarantine list, because had we known, we didn't realize until Sunday that we had to be quarantined, which is fine, but we just can't keep going away and then having to, like, quarantine for 2 weeks. We have to work.
Yeah, or, like, we have to go away for as long as we have to quarantine, like, make it worth our while.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. But I also do think that, like, every state worth going to is on the quarantine list.
Of course. If it's, like, not on the list, why?
Maybe we just shouldn't come back here.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, totally. Okay, next story. Pregnant Stassi Schroeder says her daughter has a hole in her heart. Pregnant Stassi Schroeder opened up about a health scare she recently faced with her unborn baby girl. Posting a photo of artwork from her baby's nursery, the former Vanderpump Rules star wrote, "After I bought this, we discovered she has a hole in her heart, and it was the worst week of our lives waiting to find out just how serious it was. After a week of actual hell on heart, the doctors said it's incredibly small and should heal on its own. This piece of art means so much more now." So it's a really beautiful picture of a heart with, I think, some butterflies flying out of it. And this is just a crazy story.
Yeah, I don't know if this is like a common thing or because I've obviously never been pregnant. But what a scary like thing to have the doctor say, like, "Ma'am, your daughter has a hole in her heart." Like, what?
Yeah, like that sounds extremely serious. I'm glad to hear that it's something that will heal. But I don't know. That's just crazy. I hadn't heard something like
that. I saw her Instagram story and it was like really, really sad. And then I saw like outlets writing it up, like making it clickbait, which is just like so bizarre, because it was just like people coming, like using someone's doll. I don't know. It just felt so unethical to me, but maybe I have a high bar for ethics.
Maybe you do, but that does sound unethical. Speaking of ethics, where's Theo?
He's gone.
Where'd he go?
He was under my bed, but father is making noise in the kitchen, and therefore I believe Theo followed him in there.
Oh, so father won with his noise in the kitchen. Well, some more exciting pregnancy news in our new quarantine pregnancy of the day news.
Yes.
Who's pregnant? Sadie Robertson is expecting her first child with husband Christian Huff. She's screaming with excitement.
Okay, I need to call you out on something.
What?
Why is this a story?
Because I like her.
No, I mean, like, I like her too, but, like, really? Was there, like, nothing else?
I mean, it's exciting pregnancy news by an exciting pregnancy girl. I don't know why it wouldn't be
okay,
news.
I think it was an interesting choice, but, you know, it is your responsibility here on The Toast to choose the news. And I won't judge. I was just wondering if you were feeling okay.
I am feeling great, actually, because Sadie Robertson is pregnant. And she's going to be a mom.
Fabulous. The Duck Dynasty. Fabulous.
The Duck Dynasty alumna and her husband, Christian Huff, are expecting their first child together. On Sunday, the couple announced on their respective Instagram accounts that they are going to be the proud parents of a little bundle of joy. And in part B of today's pregnancy news, Kiara Ferragni is pregnant as well.
Oh my God, when Jackie and I were together this weekend and we were like sharing information, Jackie was like, "Kiara Ferragni's pregnant." And I'm like, "Oh my God." And we were just like, you know, they say like you really truly never know what's going on behind closed doors. And I believe that. Like nothing is really what it seems. But And nobody's life is perfect, and I really believe that. But I think if we were to find someone's life who was really close to it, it would be Chiara Ferragni. And I really wouldn't be mad if I had to, like, switch places with her for a month.
Yeah. I was actually just stalking her Instagram because I wanted to see, like, what was her official pregnancy post. And it was a picture of her son with the sonogram followed by, like, a bunch of other pregnancy content. And, like, she's just, like, her life is so wonderful looking. And I know things aren't always looking what they seem looking. But I also do feel like it's that way as well. Like, yeah, it's just a nice life. Because she's like, she has a wonderful family that she's created. She has a wonderful family that, like, she's surrounded by. She has all of her sisters. Like, they seem extremely steamy. She's extremely successful. I watched her documentary. And sometimes those documentaries, like, do highlight the flip side. And I just don't really recall there. Like, she had gone through some stuff in her past, like, with her ex. And so I'm sure that was really difficult for her. But it just feels like right now where she's at, this is where she's meant to be.
But then you also have to think about it with a critical eye. Like, Chiara Ferragni is so successful because she was really the first to do what she did. Like, her blog took her all these different places, and she found success in social media, where literally your responsibility most of the time is to, like, make it all look good and okay. So, of course, mm-hmm. she's the best at it, and maybe that's why we think that her life is so great, you know? But it is so great.
Yes. But, like, every single social media influencer or blogger, like, yes, their Instagram is their highlight reel. But I just feel like I see that the fact that it's the highlight reel. Like, I feel like she's always filming, like, the quieter moments in her life. She'll go away for a weekend and post, like, a 10-slide carousel of just, like, the best weekend ever. You know, like, every weekend for her feels like Newport.
Yeah, that must be really nice.
You know? And she's just, like, her husband and her are, like, they're A-list Italian celebrities. And their son is so cute and their family's cute. And now she's pregnant. And so I just think I'm really happy for her.
Yeah, no, this is fabulous news. Just, like, adding more fabulosity to her life. And I think that's what we can all really aim for in our lives. Like, an abundance of fabulousness. That's the name of today's episode. An abundance of fabulousness.
I was feeling like extremely
hasty. Oh, you don't like my name?
I was thinking extremely hasty flush.
Oh, 100%. You're so okay. Right. And that's why you're in charge here and I'm not.
Okay, fifth and final story, which was going to be our segue into our Keeping Up recap until I found out you didn't watch, but...
Well, I just want it noted, I didn't watch for a reason, because I think it's confusing when it's like, we're supposed to recap something on Friday, we recap it on Monday. No, we'll just recap it next Friday.
Yeah, no, I feel that as well. I just, when I got home yesterday from the trip, I went to my DVR and I watched the things that were recorded that I usually need to watch. Anyways...
Well, if I'm being honest... I was illegally using your YouTube TV on my Apple TV. And when I came home this weekend, it was logged out. Wow. And I think your husband logged me out because you can only be logged into so many devices. And therefore, I am not a priority. And I just hate going back to my other input for my cable. Like, if I could live on my Apple TV forever, I can. So I downloaded the Spectrum app where I could watch cable live. But I can't access my DVR.
Yeah, so here's the two things that I'm hearing. Yes, one, my husband probably did log you out because, like, he only logged you in under the guise that you would log out at some point because he can only log into so many things and he has things he needs to log into.
Yes.
Two, sounds like...
He's very territorial with the log in, log out.
He is very territorial. Sounds like, number two, you need to get YouTube TV.
Well, you know, I used to, like, really shame you and secretly judge you.
You did.
For being a cord cutter. I'm like, really? You're going to be that girl? But I literally refused to go onto my Spectrum app. And I refused to go back to cable. And the only time I use cable is for things we recap here. So if I could find a way to watch in real time on my Apple TV, I think it would be a great success. I just feel weird about not having cable, like, in the event of an emergency. I don't know, like, no, or like a major world event. It just feels weird. It's like not having a landline.
But here, the thing about YouTube TV is, like, you think it's, like, something strange, but the interface is just like cable. I could go turn on ABC News right now and have live TV. You are aware.
No, I hear what you're saying, and you're saying everything is true and tried and true. But there's just a part of me that's very traditional, and I think that traditional part of me, like, can't let go of the cable box. I know it sounds crazy.
I just feel like, as someone who's, like, pioneering a really a new wave of media, and that would be
100%.
You, that the fact that you can cut your cords and put your money where your mouth is and walk the walk while you talk the talk is sick.
Yes, I would agree. But I also, if I may offer a rebuttal, I do think it's what makes me interesting. I'm like this 21st century girl who's so traditional with her Spectrum cable box.
If I may, yeah. I don't think anyone is really looking too closely at how you watch your television. Therefore, no. You should watch what suits you best and not worry about what others think of you.
You know what? And if I could just like piggyback off of that really quickly, I just think like it's worth noting that I'm not necessarily, you know, keeping my cable box for the approval of others. I'm more so just trying to like be true to who I am. And I think maybe that's something you don't understand.
Yeah, but I think that people change. And I think that you're changing in so many ways, but your regressive approach to cable is, no offense, holding you back.
And if I could just like leapfrog off of that, I would just like to say, can we move on?
I won then.
Yeah, you will.
Okay.
Let's dive into TV recap. I want to talk about Potomac.
No. You skipped over our fifth and final story where Northwest is going to tell you how to make the world better.
Jackie, I swear on my life you already said fifth and final.
Yeah, but I didn't say the story. Shows how much you listen.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Shows how much these stories mean to you. Okay. But CR Fashion Book is asking fashionable folk how they'd make the world a better place. And fledgling fashion star Northwest had a simple answer. So profound. Are you ready? How she make the world better?
Do tell.
Dogs.
She's obviously spoken with Theo.
She obviously has. She said, I would make everybody love each other and make the coronavirus go away and make everyone have more dogs.
Oh my God, wait, this is like such a whole, like every now and then, kids just say the darndest things that are so unbelievably sweet and wholesome and that just make you want to like cry, because like Northwest doesn't even understand like the divisiveness and like the sadness and the hurt and the turmoil in this country right now. And little does she know, she just offered like a brief reprieve from all of that turmoil.
She really did. And this week's episode of Keeping Up, we'll recap it next week, but it was so good, and she was just a star. And it's clear how much she loves animals, cute ones and not cute ones. Mm. And I think that this policy that she is putting forth should 100% be enacted.
Well, you know, her...
And everyone should have more dogs.
Well, her parents are, you know, very political. Kanye was considering at one point running for president. Kim has, you know, an in at the White House. I do think that if there's any family that could make this legislation pass, it's Kim and Kanye.
Yeah. And I do think that it would be exactly what the world needs right now. So I'm glad that 100%. The CR Fashion Book reached out to her to get her take, because
it's just funny because like I never really thought of CR Fashion Book as like the leading political analysis journal, but clearly they are.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Surprising. Yes.
And now that's the news you needed to know.
Let's do TV recap, because I really want to hear your thoughts on Potomac. And I want to just briefly, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I want to talk about SNL being back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't watch it, but we can talk about it.
I watched clips on YouTube. Like, I didn't watch in full because I'm not a loser on a Saturday night. I was asleep. I actually was fully asleep. Okay, so our TV recap segment is brought to you by New X. New X is the CBD company you just need in your life. Their mission is to provide their customers with the highest quality products at a reasonable price. With years of experience in sourcing, manufacturing, and development, their goal is to make CBD accessible to the masses. They never sacrifice the quality of their products, and they are natural, pure, and most importantly, they are fully tested. They have fabulous products, and some CBD companies nowadays are just insane in their pricing. And I feel like this is really the most reasonably priced, affordable CBD company. I really like the gummies, which are only $9.99, but they also make the shots, which are $4.99, and the tinctures, which are fast acting and easy to use. Those are $9.99. They have tons of products. The gummies are just always my favorite, because who doesn't love a little snack with their CBD? But they're super delicious, come in a bunch of different flavors, and they're all dosed out totally equally, which I have found in other CBD companies they don't do, which is like really annoying, because you don't know like how many gummies to take. But With Nu-X, you just take the same amount every time, and it's really a fabulous brand and a fabulous product. And if you want to visit Nu-X and purchase something, they have great products. You can use our discount code TOAST for 20% off a limited time. The website is Nu-X, nu-x.com. Code is TOAST for 20% off a limited time. All their brand, the products are fabulous. Check it out. A bunch of you guys are always asking for my CBD recommendations, and now you have it.
Yeah, amazing, amazing products. I look forward to getting into them some more while I'm home in the queue. Back in the queue.
Queue is a perfect time to get into CBD.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into Potomac.
Okay, so let's just really talk about the editing, because it was really just like a, every time they freeze framed and then went back to the therapy, it was really kind of brilliant, I'm not going to lie.
Yes, except that I was just like really involved in the conversation between Monique and all the women, and oh, going back to like Candace and her therapist was just not nearly as interesting to me. But no. Yeah, no, the way it was filmed, and they would have the woman talking with like behind her what happened, you know, sort of like a war movie with like the flashbacks.
Yes. 1917.
Yes. And so I agree. It was extremely well filmed.
Now I want to get into the actual contents, because last week I felt differently than I do this week. And part of me just was like, a lot of the women are being really dramatic. And I understand like Giselle's hesitance. A lot of the women don't want to be associated with like the stereotype of Black women. And I totally get that. But I just felt like some of them were being really judgmental. Like when Giselle was like, me and Jamal, he's a pastor, like we have an image to protect. And it's like, okay, those in glass houses, girlfriend, like should not, you have your own shit. Like Monique is not your problem in terms of protecting your image. Like, and I felt like Wendy was being a little condescending, and it was very clear that a lot of them just went into the meeting like with their minds completely made up. And I think that was Wendy, Giselle, and a little bit of Robin. Towards the end, like Robin came around a little bit, but I just felt like Karen was being so understanding and like such a good host. And I was really like living for Karen. Yeah. And Ashley too. I mean, I'm just that type of person where, but then I devil's advocate. I feel like Monique was like not really that apologetic, and she had to come in there and swallow her pride, and she just could not do that. She like did the most that she could do, which is like say, she was embarrassed, but her not being like, of course, Candace is annoying as fuck. And she like, she was wrong in the argument, but now the argument is just, it's irrelevant. Like you really got way too physical. And so for me, I felt like Monique could have done a better job in that meeting. And that's where I was taking Wendy's side. But then sometimes Wendy and Giselle were just coming off like so condescending, like they had never made a mistake in their lives. And for that, I was really on team Karen and Ashley. So I'm once again, in the middle.
Great. I'm glad that I waited 1 week to see how this played out so that I could come here today and tell you I am firmly on Monique's side.
Okay.
Firmly. I feel very strongly about it. I want the conversation between all of the women and her was important that they had it. I thought that Giselle and Robin were so hard on Monique, like unnecessarily. And I felt like they've sort of just been waiting for a reason to not like her. And 100%. Unfortunately, she gave it to them. She accepted responsibility for what she did. As far as remorse, I felt like she was just being honest. Yes, she didn't say everything that you want her to say so we can just forgive her and move on. But she was being honest about how she felt that in that moment, like, and a week, how many days it was after the fact, like she was still in shock and still hadn't processed her feelings. You know, she wasn't just like saying things to smooth it over to get back on the show. And the fact that she would even say like, maybe I don't need to be a part of this anymore. Like realizing that maybe this show isn't what's best for her. Like I have to respect that. And she said over and over, like, I don't want to be judged by like my worst moment or my worst decision. And I think that that's completely fair. Also, agreed. As much as like she made it physical, and I do not condone violence, and it shouldn't get to that level. Like when she started to tear up, when she was like, when someone's coming for you and talking at you and like, you know, messing with you, there has to be repercussions for that. And like, she was like, she's not just going to stand by while she gets like picked on or yelled at or rumor spread about her family. Like she's going to like, what's she going to do? She's going to drag you.
So I watched her on Watch What Happens Live, and I feel like there is definitely like a really obvious missing piece in this whole thing, which is like, how did we get from like being friends with Charisse to this? And it's so much more than that. And Monique was saying on Watch What Happens Live, like, it's frustrating, like, people don't know, and she is really gonna lay it all out for everyone on the reunion, because there's so much that we don't know. And, like, I feel like we're really informed viewers, and, like, we read all the tweets and whatever, and so we kind of have an idea. But Monique did confirm on Watch What Happens Live, like, the rumor being spread, it's not just, like, being friends with Charisse and, like, making out with her trainer, it's that the trainer was the father of her most recent child, which is such a fucked up rumor. So it's so much bigger than this, and I feel like maybe a lot of people aren't taking or, like, even understanding Monique's side of it, because there's so much going on that's off camera, which is so frustrating.
Yeah. Also, I was, like, reading on Twitter just to see how other people felt, and, like, most of the tweets have Monique's back and think that Giselle and Robin are such hypocrites. And they're just, like, coming so hard for her. And, like, the fact when they started to say, like, she's setting a bad example for her daughter. And
that was mean. That was mean.
Like, was so unnecessary, especially when you put it in the context of, like, this is pretty much a very similar fight that was just had between Margot Joseph and Danielle Staub. Like,
yeah.
They were really just enjoying it too much. And that really bothered me, when I did feel like Monique went in there with her tail between her legs, like, was not trying to justify, just explain how she got to that point. Not saying that she was justified in her reaction, but just that, like, that is how it happened. I felt like they were being so unnecessarily harsh. And when Karen said, like, when things get hard for my friends, I don't walk away, like, I soldier up. That's how I feel about my stands. Like, just because Monique's going through it right now, she didn't behave in a way that was, like, you know, the best, doesn't mean I'm going to walk away from her.
I thought Karen Huger was the absolute hero of the episode. She was so, and, like, Giselle was just coming in, like, even with her bodyguard, which was, like, funny, I guess. It was just, like, so silly, and, like, it was a serious thing, and I just felt like, I love how Karen, like, literally made the bodyguard sit in the kitchen and, like, had no time for Giselle and her silly skit.
Her theatrics.
Yes, thank you. That's the word.
Also, I thought Ashley was being a really great friend. Like, she recognized that what Monique did was wrong, but not that, like, she has this issue of, like, we can't be around her. Like, I really just felt like the women were blowing it out of proportion. And then Monique said on Watch What Happens Live that eventually, a few days later, like, because she went home and she had to take care of her kids and, like, her husband, and, you know, she didn't have a chance to process it, and it took her a longer time to, like, get to a place of remorse. And when she started to have that feeling, she immediately texted a producer asking if they could set up time for her and Candace to talk about it.
Great. Like,
so she could apologize. Not a few hours later, Monique got an email from Candace's attorney and it became a legal situation. So that conversation never happened. But according to Monique, it's not for lack of trying. And she also was just being, like, real about processing her emotions. I feel like for me, things take time. Like, sometimes something happens and it takes me a few days to even know, understand how I feel about it. And so the fact that she didn't go into that meeting and just say what she knew the women needed to hear and, like, be phony, I really respect it. Because, like, I think human emotions and it's more complicated than just sometimes, like, I did this, I'm sorry. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. And Monique did feel attacked. And when she feels attacked, she's going to start swinging. And I understand.
Well, what I thought was interesting is that, I mean, we know that this fight is like a cornerstone of the season. Like, it's an important, like, and, like, it's been hyped up a lot, but I didn't really know that it unravels into, like, this whole legal thing and, like, all the husbands get involved. And we got, like, a big preview for the rest of the season last night. And it looks, I mean, all the previews always look good, but it really looks fabulous.
It does, but it also doesn't look like there's much Monique. And I feel like maybe that's because they don't want us to know if she gets back into the group, but it doesn't seem like she's in Portugal. I didn't see her in one same scene. And maybe she does need a break, because when things get to that level, and you know what, like, if what she says is true about the way that these women have spread rumors about her family, and even remember a few seasons ago when that, but right before she got pregnant, where it was like she fell asleep at the wheel and they were all just like starting, like, really, like, there's one thing between, like, idle gossip and, like, these damaging rumors that, like, I wouldn't even repeat, you know? So, like, to have people coming for you in that way, like, sometimes you need to take a step back. And so maybe that's what she's going to do. And I totally respect that.
Well, what's frustrating is, like, if it remains as bad as it is, which I don't think it gets any better, we really can't exist for much longer with a show that consists of Candace and both Monique. Like, it's too toxic. And at the end of the day, I don't think Bravo could really ever fire Candace over Monique.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't know how they could, but like just looking at fan reactions, and usually I never agree with Twitter, so I hate to be like, that's where I'm gonna base this off of. But, and Andy said on Watch What Happens Live last night, like people are split about this. Like there's no, yeah, everyone's on this side or everyone's on that side. So it's just a really complex situation. And I did feel like the women were not giving Monique any grace. Like, and
I agree.
And they were just like too excited to have a reason to disregard Monique.
Yeah, and like at the end of the day, it's always hard to be the person in Monique's position. And even though I do think she could have been a little bit more remorseful, I just didn't think it was cool that like some of the women were just like kicking her when she was down.
Yeah, I agree. And I just thought they overplayed it. They can be like critical of her and let them know that they don't stand by what she did, but like to say the thing about her daughter and
so mean.
Giselle saying the thing about like her children, like bringing like children, like using children to like make your point stronger. I don't agree with it in the context of the show.
Oh, and then also a great segue to SNL was last night Monique was on with Bowen Yang, who like I never would expect was the biggest Housewives fan. Like he knew everything. He was hilarious. Like I really thoroughly enjoyed him. And now we need him to do a Housewives skit on SNL.
Yeah. They do them sometimes, but I think it has been a while.
They do it very, very rarely. And I think A.D. Bryant, is she still on?
Yeah.
She's a huge Housewives fan. I think it's like literally always her writing the skits.
No, I think there's like a lot of Housewives fans. I even think like Cecily Strong, she's on Watch What Happens Live kind of often. So
they actually do a lot of like Watch What Happens Live SNL crossover. Well, SNL was back this week with
Megan Stallion. Well, that's also because they're both in New York, so.
And they're both a part of NBC family.
Totally.
SNL was back this week. I watched a bunch of the skits online. Honestly, the only thing worth seeing, well, it was all good, but the only thing like people are talking about is Megan Thee Stallion's performance. And I just have to say, I want to put it on record. Like Megan Thee Stallion is really like coming up on my list of people I'm fucking obsessed with. Like she always looks unbelievable. Like I thought her performance was, her music is so good and her performance had a really powerful message about protecting Black women. And it was just amazing. If you haven't seen it yet, I mean, it's all over Instagram. I saw it on Garcelle's Instagram first, but watch it on YouTube. And the skits were good. It was just like weird to be back in SNL, like everyone in the audience, like wearing a mask.
Yeah. I saw it on Garcelle's Instagram also. And also you guys there's no video today, but my cup matches Megan Thee Stallion's performance.
Yes, it does.
Because they were wearing, you'll see. Maybe I'll put a picture on my Instagram. Yeah, did you watch any of the skits?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Rock is amazing. I just like, sometimes I'm in the mood for SNL and sometimes I'm not. And I feel like I'm only in the mood for SNL when I happen to catch it live.
Well, I think that it's like watching something live, like an award show. You wouldn't watch it after the fact.
That's true. But
the thrill of watching something live.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much going on in the world that, like, it's must be, like, a great time to be a writer for SNL. So that's it's, like, an interesting time to be watching it. But they have announced a bunch of people coming up. Morgan Wallen.
Oh, my God, I saw this weekend Morgan Wallen. And who's hosting while he's on?
Bill Burr.
Can't wait.
And the week after that, Issa Rae and Justin Bieber.
Amazing. Oh, that's so exciting. Good lineup. And it's exciting that they're back in the studio. And yes, the audience wearing masks, but that's, you know, getting back to normal. And I feel like
it's
exciting.
I feel like in SNL history, like we will look back on those Zoom episodes, like with shame in our eyes.
Yeah. No, with so much shame. Kind of the way we look back on Zoom Toast.
100%. But it was a dark time for everyone. And therefore, we don't judge.
No, we do not judge. And speaking of Zoom Toast, this was
that's
Zoom
it.
Toast. Oh, by the way, I did want to add a follow-up to a story from last week, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because I know you were curious about how Buddy Balastro was going to continue icing cakes.
I actually have been seeing so many updates about this man's broken arm.
Cake Boss star Buddy Balastro tries to ice cake with left hand after injury. Buddy Balastro is taking his recovery one day at a time. On Saturday, he shared a handful of images as he decorated cakes with his family using his left hand, having mangled his dominant hand last month in an accident at his home bowling alley.
Devastating. A huge loss for the cake community.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see, you know, he's using his other hand and that we have an update on this story that I know Claudia was on the edge of her seat
over. And millions of Americans.
And millions of toasters.
That's our show for you guys. Hope you're enjoying the podcast episodes. Bear with us as we quarantine. And yeah, anything we want to add before we wrap this baby up?
No, we'll be doing Zoom Toast podcast only for the next 2 weeks.
We're back October 19th in studio. So put it on your calendar.
But we'll do Zoom episodes every day. And we hope that you guys enjoyed. Watch out for those extremely hasty flushes because it could be you calling a tow truck in Connecticut.
If you find yourself in a Connecticut rest stop in the next couple of days, try not to be blinded by the glitz and the glamour of the fabulousness of the rest stop and put your keys in your purse, zip it up, and don't put it in your bra because it's a big mistake. You know what? Let me be the lesson, okay? Let me be the lesson here.
Sure, learn your lesson. Also, this harks back to a point that is near and dear to my heart, which is that you should just sit on the toilet instead of squatting.
And Jackie has an amazing, amazing theory that women around the world need to listen and get on board with because it only works if all women are in on it together. Jackie, please elaborate.
If everyone sat on the toilet directly, there would be no pee on the seat. So we would each just be sitting on a clean toilet. I mean, the back of your thighs and your butt cheeks like are not a dirty surface. So no, I don't mind. Not. I don't mind sharing that surface with you. I do mind sitting on your pee. And I do mind bending over to wipe up your pee. So tell I think them. As women, if we all just sat on the toilet, one, we would trust each other more because I'm not looking around the restaurant wondering whose pee I just sat on.
Yes.
Two, our thighs like would be thankful that we are no longer squatting.
Mm-hmm.
And three, the keys would not fall into the toilet.
That's the most important point here, okay?
Yeah.
Think of all the keys, cell phones lost because of women who pee on the seat. And you know, yesterday when we were in this predicament, I was trying to place blame, you know, because it couldn't be my fault, you know? So I'm like, who am I really angry at? And I was thinking maybe I was angry at Sam because she was the one who wanted to pull over to pee, but then that's really not fair. Then I was thinking I'm mad at the state of Connecticut for them and their darn automatic flushes. But now I'm mad at women for making me squat.
I think that's the perfect takeaway.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday. So if you're listening to this on the podcast app, please find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, the Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing day and enjoyed this episode, and we will see you tomorrow for the same thing all over again. Bye.
Bye.